Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the field manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, John Gibbons. How are you, sir?
Nice, I'm doing good. It's good to see you guys.
What happened with you and Josh this morning? Just to get right to the point.
What are you talking about?
You and Josh allegedly had a meeting after we saw a boombox brought out here, and it appeared as if you weren't... Maybe it was the choice of music.
I was going to say, it wasn't country music, obviously. That must have been the issue, right?
If it was Southtown, maybe you would have been okay with it.
No doubt about it.
Was that...
No, just, it was, you know, it just it was a little disagreement on something, and we hashed it out. That's, you know, that's all I want to say. But I love the guy. Like, he's my old kid, you know. And just one of those spats, you know. I might have been in a bad mood because I just got finished talking to you guys.
Well, I wasn't there, so I can't blame Brent and myself.
Okay, you're right. Maybe it was Rosie.
Well, it could very well be Rosie. So Josh is in the lineup today, his first start of the spring at third base. Has he changed his spring training regimen at all since he's been here? Because he's a guy we always think about as being really process-oriented. Is he the same guy throughout springs, or does he like to tinker with stuff?
You know what, he's always analyzing his swing to make sure he's got it right, or whether it's his, you know, whatever, however he's going to play third base. So he's always into that. But, you know, he's smart enough to know that, I mean, he has such confidence that there's not a whole lot needs to be changed. Mm-hmm. But he stays on top of, really stays up on top of things. And, you know, I mean, really, his swing is very complex. I mean, it looks smooth and easy, but there's a lot to it that most people can't, you know, copy. So he's just got his drills that he does that, you know, to get him ready to go. And, I mean, he's such a huge part of this team, and you guys all know that. I mean, we witnessed it last year when he was gone. I mean, there was a big hole, and then the way he finished the season is just always a reminder just how good he is. So, really, we're just being careful with him down here to make sure he's good and healthy to start the season.
He's an amazing guy to listen to talk about hitting, you know, when he kind of breaks it down. You know, to quote our pal Kevin Barker, you know, he's not a C-ball hit-ball guy. He's a pretty cerebral hitter in a lot of ways, isn't he?
Yeah, and Stephen, you know what? I mean, really, he's a late bloomer in the game. You know, when he started out, I mean, he went through a lot of struggles like most guys do, and I'm not sure exactly when it all started, but he just really started studying the swing and, you know, of the better hitters in the, you know, the history of baseball, and just found what worked for him, and just, I mean, it just shot his career, you know, through the roof. But yeah, he's, you know, when you get him one-on-one and you listen to him talk about the swing, it's at a different level than most guys. There's no doubt about that. And a lot of guys can't do it, you know. So yeah, he's a special guy. He's a great baseball player, but that, you know, that hasn't happened by accident.
John, if you could give us an update on Steve Pearson, Marcus Stroman. I know you spoke to the other members of the media, and I don't imagine that's changed, but if you could just give us an update on those two.
Well, Pearson, you know, the other day came out of the game, he got a cramp in his calf, you know, and he, you know, he's had calf issues in the past, so we're going to make sure it's nothing worse than that. So he'll be off a few days, but they think this is no big deal. He's probably a little dehydrated, and, you know, Marcus got checked out, you know, his shoulder's fine. But they want him to take a certain number of days. I couldn't tell you exactly what that is, you know, before he starts throwing a baseball. But once they feel he starts throwing again, that's all behind him, and there'll be no looking back. But it's, you know, he's another key guy for us. So we got to, okay, we don't want to push it too quick. So there's that fine line, that balance. Okay, we got to make sure they get these guys ready enough at innings or enough at bats, but yet don't do anything stupid too.
John, there's a little bit of a conversation about this spring and about a little bit of a change of approach. Maybe as a part, in large part, because you guys stumbled out of the gate last year, right? You had a real
right.
And
right.
You look at that season, like, there are a lot of things that maybe you could have been luckier with or could have gone better, but if you take away that terrible start, you guys are probably in it in September.
Yeah, it was catch up all year, and we never quite got there. Yeah, you know what, Steven, you know, we've looked at some different things, and you know, if you look around most camps, I've been with some different teams and talked to different people. Basically, camps are run the same everywhere. You know, you come in, you know, this pitcher's got to do this, hitter's got to do this. You know, you got to work all the fundamentals and things like that. But I do think the key is that, you know, the hitters get enough at bats, you know, because timing, you know, and then and the pitchers too. You want them ready to go out of the gates, and you're primarily your starters. You want them to be able to throw some innings early on, so I don't think there's necessarily a magic formula. You know, some teams, you know, since I've been here, we've never been a great starter. You know, we've always been so-so. But, you know, in the big leagues, you can overcome a so-so start. It's very tough to overcome a Well, I don't even think you can a bad start like we had last year.
So, have you changed anything up along? I guess because the question is always, you know, how much you want to treat spring like real games or real baseball? How much you want to work fundamentals with guys who've been working fundamentals their whole lives?
Right.
You know, it's not like they're not in shape when they get here. They've all been working out for months before they get here. But have you tweaked that at all this year?
Well, you know what? I mean, we're starting to get to that point now. The big thing is, let's make sure we get plenty of at-bats, you know, in the same way in the innings pitch. You know, because what happens, you know, you get a lot of guys in camp, and everybody, you know, you owe it to everybody to get some playing time because they got to get ready for their own season, you know, and everybody's here. I mean, it's thought of highly by the organization. So, you know, and until they get shipped out, I mean, you got to give them their opportunity too. And we also have, you know, a bunch of outfielders. We got a number, you know, infielders too. And so sometimes it's tough to get at-bats and find playing time for them all, you know. So, we're doing the best we can with that. But that's been a popular topic, and I think it's Richard Griffin's favorite topic.
Well, that's good. I'm glad I'm echoing Griff. But in practical terms, John, does that mean rather than a guy going out after two at-bats, he stays in for a third or a fourth, or some guys maybe going on road trips who wouldn't have otherwise gone on road trips, spring road trips?
Yeah, and you know what? What's tough here, too, is, you know, we're kind of we're situated, we're on the kind of the outskirts, so, you know, unless you're playing Tampa or Clearwater.
It's a long haul.
And then what I've experienced in the past with some guys, you know, you take some of those veteran players down there, and next thing you know, even if they're riding in their own car, you know, they come out of the game, they drive 2.5 hours. And the next day they got a bad back or stiff back or what have you, and so you kind of try to balance it. Maybe we've done that a little bit too much in the past, and you know, within these next couple of weeks, more guys will be going where they might not normally. So, but we'll see. I mean, but that's, you know, it's my job to get them ready, so we'll see.
It's March 6th, something around there. How do you see the top of the order shaping up? Because and what happens in the middle of the order if Tulo doesn't, you know, doesn't break camp with the team, which now appears to be almost a certainty?
Well, you know, we've for a number of years now, we've always been looking for that leadoff guy, you know, and I've always believed, and most guys, that, you know, it'd be a great spot for Devin Travis, you know, and of course, we've never really been able to establish him in that spot because he's been hurt, one of the injuries he's had. But ideally, I think, you know, if we keep him on the field, you know, he'll be ideal there. You know, he's one of our best hitters, pure hitters anyway, and he kind of fits that mold a little bit. If it's not him, it's still up in the air. We're still talking about that. As far as how the middle goes, you know, we're talking about maybe move Josh down to third from second, depending if we try to get more guys on base for him so he can drive him some more runs. We're still debating that. And, of course, then you'll have Smokey, and we'll see how we want to put it. You know, do we want to split up Smokey Morales, that kind of thing. So a lot of that's just being talked about right now, and so we still got a couple weeks.
What's the, John, from your point of view, what's the game plan in terms of Devin? If, you know, assuming he breaks camp healthy, but there's the sense that you've got to be aware of the knee, that I think it was Ross that said, you know, one of the tricky things is going to be if you're trying to limit him to 100 games or 110, that you might have to sit him down when he's going good, which is a hard thing to do because, you know,
hard.
We've seen what he looks like when he's going good. He's a great player.
Yeah, Stephen, really, it's kind of gotten to that point where, you know what, you know, going in, we'll say, okay, you know, he's going to need X amount of days off, like maybe even in a week, and it's going to be real hard to do. But it's kind of gotten to the point where we think that's the only way we're going to keep him healthy for the whole season. If that's what it takes, and that's what we got to do. But it's key too. You know, when we pick up a guy like Solarte, who can really swing the bat, and seeing that'll make a huge difference there. So that's one of the reasons they address that. So, you watch Devin. You know, I think he's an all-star player if you get him enough at bats, you get a full season, and I've always felt that way, and our team's just better. We've seen it the last couple of years when he's out there. It's just the poor guy's been snake bit.
What have you seen from two young guys in particular this spring, Anthony Alford and Danny Jansen, two guys of interest to a lot of people? What have you seen from them? And I'll ask you the question, even though I know the answer. I don't think there's any way Anthony breaks camp with this team, is there, even though he seems to have a smoking hot start this spring?
Yeah, I wouldn't anticipate him, but you know what? There's no reason. A couple months in, or maybe even soon, I couldn't tell you today. You know, once he, I think the key is once he gets here, there's no looking back. You know, he's ready, and he's wherever he's playing out there, that's your guy for the next, I don't know how many years. I've never seen as big a turnaround in a young player as I've seen in Anthony. You know, I can remember a couple springs ago I was here, and you see the great athlete. but really the baseball skills were missing, you know. And that's not unusual necessarily, but I haven't seen many guys that have been able to overcome that, you know. So I even had some doubts, you know, two camps ago. And then he shows up last year, and I said, I couldn't believe, you know, people had him in the minor league said, yeah, you're not gonna recognize this kid. And sure enough, you know, I think at first year he showed up here, you know, he kind of had a groove swing, you know. If you threw it in that area where he's swinging, I mean, he's gonna hurt you. But then he started making adjustments, and then you start hitting breaking balls, fouling off tough breaking balls, tough fastballs, just to stay alive. And I tell you, it's the biggest jump that I'd ever seen at a kid that age.
Is that maybe part because he played another sport, John?
He's a great athlete. Yeah. But, you know, baseball's so different. You know, you don't even have to be a good athlete to play baseball if you got some skills, you know. And I think that's what's so tough to master, you know. Because you know, a lot of the big physical, big muscle stuff that he's used to doing in football, you know, can kind of work against you sometime in baseball. But you know, I tip my hat to him because he's worked very hard to get himself in this position. And not too long ago too, he had that knee injury, and there were some concerns, you know, what was that going to do to him. So, and then Danny Jansen, you know, we were talking about both two of our prize prospects. You know, great year last year, jumped the system basically, you know, when his time's right too, you know, he'll be here. It's tough to find good catching, but you know, Reese McGuire looks good. Max Pentecost is finally back on the field, and so we have to have more than most teams in the organization. So we feel good about that spot.
The guy I want to ask you about too, John, is Gurriel, because he had kind of a lost season last year. You know, it's injuries and adjustment for him in a lot of ways. It sounds like he's had a real comfortable spring, and how close do you think he is? Because you know, he's a guy who played against men in Cuba.
Right.
And what would it mean, you know, as a manager, if he in fact turns into that multi-position guy, right? A guy you could use in the infield, use in the outfield, what that would allow you to do as a manager?
Oh, Steven, I mean, it makes it a heck of a lot easier on a manager, you know, and it's hard to do that. But, he does have the skills to do that. And, you know, I tell you what, there's something in that bat, you know. I mean, just look at his brother, you know. He turns out, you know, like his brother, you know, you're really, really good. So, you know, he's come a long way, too. He changed his arm angle a little bit, throwing from shortstop. It's really helped straighten out his throw a little bit. But he's got high energy. You know, he can run. And, you know, he's a guy, too, that could come really fast. You know, once that – he's, you know, he battled that hamstring all last year, and that really hurt him. But, you know, there's a ton of talent in there. You know, they gave him a lot of money for a reason, and I can see why.
Last question before I let you go. Buck talked about Aaron Sanchez and how he's made an alteration on his grip to maybe take some of the pressure off that hot spot. He has looked really good this spring. The same with Osuna.
Yeah.
They both looked really good. How do you manage Aaron this year? Will there be a restriction on him in terms of innings, or do you just have to go, you know what, man, if it's going good, we're gonna keep you out there?
Yeah, I have no plans to monitor his innings. You know, I can't speak for everybody, right. But you know, I am making that call down there in that dugout. You know, so anyway, I think he looks great. You know, basically, I lost full season last year, so I guarantee his arm feels really strong. And so that's a good thing. And we'll just let his games dictate. And you know, we'll always keep an eye on that finger. But you know, he just made an adjustment with his thumb. He got a little more up underneath the ball where it's supposed to be. And I think what he'll tell you is the ball's rolling off that finger the way it used to and the way it should. Even last year, you know, he still had a lot of movement on his pitches, but it was kind of flat. You know, now it's back to that dive bomber thing. So, and he was just playing catch when he was tinkering and figured that out. So, he just talked about Marcus Stroman a minute ago. I mean, he's, you know, Sanchi, those two guys are vital if we're going to do anything.
We're going to let you run. Go manage some baseball.
Run or walk?
You can walk. Right. You can walk. Thanks, John. Take care.
You got me.
Hey, John.
John Gibbons, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays.